Welcome to the Nova Scotia Artist Spotlight, presented by the Nova Scotia Talent Trust on CIOE. I'm your host, Bree McKinnon, a songwriter, pianist, and former Talent Trust Award recipient. For this series, we're celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Talent Trust by interviewing some of the amazing, groundbreaking artists that the Trust has supported here in Nova Scotia. You can listen on 97.5 or streaming worldwide online at communityradio.ca. On today's Artist Spotlight, we are featuring Barbara Hannigan, a Grammy Award-winning Canadian soprano and conductor known for her groundbreaking performances of contemporary opera. She's given the world premiere of dozens of new creative works. She's currently the principal guest conductor at the Gothenburg Symphony with upcoming engagements including the Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra, the Paris Philharmonic, amongst others. In 2016, Hannigan was made a member of the Order of Canada, one of Canada's highest civilian honors, and we are so, so proud to call her a Nova Scotia Talent Trust alumni. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Wow, thanks. That's a great introduction.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I was just looking through your tour schedule, and it's absolutely astonishing. So I know you're in the midst of preparing for some upcoming shows. Where am I reaching you today?
So you're reaching me in Bretagne on the north shore of France. So I'm kind of across from Nova Scotia. If I waved, maybe somebody could see me. And I live now in Paris, but we have a house here in Bretagne, and I always come here when I'm woodshedding some new material. So that's what I'm doing now.
Wow. Okay. What sort of material are you working on these days?
Well, first I spent 5 days with my recording producer who came here with all his equipment, and we did the final mix and edit for my new CD. And then I've spent the last 10 days learning and memorizing a new opera called The Snow Queen by Hans Abrahamsson, and we start rehearsals for that in Munich in a week. So I'm working hard.
Wow. Well, we'll get back to your current work in a moment, but let's just hop back across the sea. I saw that you were playing some shows in Nova Scotia this summer in Lunenburg. So I'd like to talk a little bit about your background. What was your musical life like growing up in Waverly, Nova Scotia?
Well, at the end of our street in Waverly was the elementary school, Waverly Memorial School. And when I was 6 years old, we got a new music teacher named Hope McEwen. And I remember being very excited about this new music teacher and very curious. And she was extraordinary. She was extremely highly trained. Of course, as a six-year-old, I didn't know what a good teacher she was. I just knew that I loved going to music class, and I loved all our school productions and concerts. And I think that was extremely important, not just for me, but for all the kids that grew up in Waverly, to have such a strong and passionate, joyful music teacher. And, you know, then I went, of course, also to private lessons, like piano lessons in Lower Sackville, and my mom was driving us around in the car a lot to all our different lessons, and then it continued at the conservatory in Halifax and through excellent high school music programs at Charles P. Allen High School with Ron Murphy and Kim Dampier directing the school musicals. So it was really, it was just such an integral part of my upbringing. Not to mention the Nova Scotia Choral Federation summer camps. I went there every summer since I was 9 years old. And this was just, it was just the way we lived and breathed, and it was very natural. And so for me, the choice was not whether I would be a musician. The choice was, what kind of musician did I want to be? Did I want to sing? Did I want to play the piano? Did I want to play the oboe? Did I want it to be classical music or musicals or jazz? Or did I want to become a music teacher like Miss McEwen? Those were the kind of choices that I was thinking about from a really young age.
Wow. Do you remember the moment you knew, this is what I want to do, I want to pursue music as a profession?
I think I always knew that I wanted to pursue music as a profession. The point that I knew I wanted to sing was at age 15. And the point that I knew that I wanted to sing classical music was at age 17. And it was a year or two after that that I even realized my passion for contemporary modern music, you know, for working with living composers of our time. Mm-hmm. And so around age 19 or so, I even narrowed it down closer to make sure that I was going to devote a large part of my career to contemporary music and to working with living composers. So, you know, now I'm 48, so that's that's a long time ago, and I'm still doing it, you know. So it's really wonderful.
So what do you think drew you to contemporary music? When did you first begin to kind of think, oh wow, okay, this is what I want to focus on, and this is my passion?
Yeah, I think I was always drawn to slightly complex scores. I liked difficult architecture, and I liked puzzles. I liked figuring out a score, a piece of music that not everybody could figure out or wanted to figure out. I liked that. And then when I realized that I was good at it, I thought, oh, well, maybe this is a kind of, you know, vocation. Maybe I'm called to do this, you know, because I have this passion for it, because I looked around me and I didn't see that everybody felt the same way that I did. So I started to devote more and more time to working with composers and to try and be a kind of advocate for them, to be a channel for their music and to be a voice for their ideas.
Well, this is very millennial of me, but I have to say I first heard you sing when I stumbled across your NPR Tiny Desk concert.
And it was absolutely gorgeous,
and I discovered some new music and some composers that I'd never heard of before. So it feels like you're bringing modern classical and modern operatic music to a new audience, either fans like myself or maybe classical music fans who thought they weren't into contemporary music as much. So is this something you sort of like deliberately strive to do?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I love when people come to my concerts that are either not at all from music background, mm-hmm. or if they're from a totally different kind of music background. Like I've had, you know, noise metal band people come to my concerts and tell me that they're fans, you know? So it's really, and that, I just get such a kick out of that. And I think because music is such a kind of communal experience, you know, I think of it as a kind of witnessing and a very spiritual experience in the round. If you think of a concert hall, I don't think of it as at one end are the orchestra and the conductor, and at the other end are the audience. I think of us in a way encircling each other so that the audience are equal participants to the people that are on stage, and that we are all giving our presence to the musical performance.
Yeah, I love that you're kind of separating down the walls, not only between genre and preconceived notions of classical music, but also, like you just said, between the audience and the performers themselves. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I have expectations of the audience. And I don't know if audiences, you know, if the normal person, audience goer, is aware how much their contribution affects the performance. And that it's a funny thing, because it has to do with when an audience is quietly electrified, and when their energy there's a kind of palpable feeling that I certainly have as a performer, that I get from the audience when I'm on stage.
What's the difference between performing somewhere like NPR's Tiny Desk concerts to maybe a dozen or so people and performing in a concert hall with hundreds or thousands of people?
Well, the NPR Tiny Desk concert, for any of your listeners that don't know what it is, it's a concert series that's usually pop and folk artists, mm-hmm. but sometimes they occasionally have classical people on. And it's done in the NPR radio offices. And they roll in an old, I mean, a fairly okay upright piano, but it's not a grand piano. And you stand there in an office space, and a big open office space, and you perform for all the NPR employees, and they all come and listen. So the acoustic, as you can imagine, is pretty bad. I mean, you've got like carpet, on the floors. And it's, you know, you have to kind of let go of your ego as far as any kind of acoustic helping you sound good like you'd have in a big, gorgeous concert hall. But on the other hand, the intimacy of it is really special. And because you are, you know, performing for such a small group. And I used to be really afraid of the small concerts. I was always afraid of the smaller halls, like 50, 100, 150 people. That was like the worst possible situation for me. I preferred being in a big concert hall where there was some distance and where you could use the acoustic of the space. But now I enjoy both because I like that very intimate communion with the audience, and I also like the big space where we've got a lot of atmosphere to in which we can resonate, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine it would pose its challenges, but it sounded absolutely beautiful to me.
Oh, thanks.
Why don't we take a quick break and listen to some of your music? We chose a track from the Vienna album, which recently won a Juno Award for Best Classical Album of the Year. Can you tell me a little bit about this piece?
Yeah, so this is a piece called Empfängnis by Zemlinsky. And Empfängnis is the German word for conception. And it's a song about the fullness of night and feeling full with possibility. And this album, the Vienna album, is all music that was written in Vienna around the turn of the 19th into the 20th century. And I recorded it with my beloved mentor and guide, Reinbert de Leo. He's a Dutch pianist, conductor, and composer. And on this album, he's the pianist. And we've performed this recital for 10 years before we finally recorded it. So it's very, very dear to me.
Well, let's have a listen to Empfängnis, performed by Barbara Hannigan.
Und reifst den Wald. Your dial is set on 97.5 FM, CIOE FM, Real Radio, serving Metro and beyond.
Welcome back to the Artist Spotlight presented by the Nova Scotia Talent Trust on CIOE. I'm Bria McKinnon, and today I'm speaking with the Grammy Award-winning singer, conductor, and artist Barbara Hannigan from Waverly, Nova Scotia. So, Barbara, you recently started an amazing organization called Equilibrium to give back to young artists who are just starting out the first phase of their professional career. Can you tell me a little bit about this organization?
Yeah. In 2017, I decided that I was in a position to be able to help my younger colleagues and to engage others to join me in that effort. And so I created an initiative called Equilibrium, and it is a mentoring initiative for young professionals. I decided I didn't want to have a training program. I wanted to have something that was more like, you know, more experienced colleagues helping less experienced colleagues, because I feel like that first part of a career, I think in any field, anybody can identify that's listening, even if they're not musicians, you know, that first 7 or 8 years of a career in any field is tough, and it can be quite lonely, and one can feel quite isolated because all of a sudden you are a professional and you know, you kind of think you're supposed to have the answers, but how could you? Because you don't have the experience yet. So it's really helpful to have experienced artists kind of giving you a hand and giving you advice and guidance. So I started Equilibrium, and I got four different orchestras on board, professional top-level orchestras, Munich Philharmonic and the Danish Radio and Gothenburg Symphony and my Dutch orchestra, Ludwig, to perform with these young artists that I would be working with. And I had auditions for applicants, and we had 350 applications from 39 countries. So it was a lot of videos and resumes and letters to go through until I finally narrowed it down to 125 who I auditioned live. And then out of those, I chose about 20 young artists, mostly singers and a few conductors and pianists. And we did a complete opera, The Rake's Progress by Stravinsky, with three different casts of singers. We did two productions of Mozart Requiem. We did another ballet piece that has singers in it called Pulcinella by Stravinsky, and some other works. So it was a pretty exciting first season, which happened last year.
Wow.
And this year we're starting again. Some of the same singers and some new singers, and including a collaboration with the Toronto Symphony, which is super exciting. And also we had a workshop at LAMP, the Lunenburg Academy of Music Performance, in wonderful Nova Scotia last August. So, you know, it's something that's in addition to my performing as a singer and my performing as a conductor, but it kind of overlaps and integrates with everything, you know, so it's very time consuming in a joyful way.
Hmm. What was the LAMP workshop like? What was it like to take some of these young artists from all around the world back to your home province?
Oh, it was great. I mean, for LAMP, we brought the four singers who will sing the Mozart Requiem with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. They're all Canadians, but they're based all over the place. One is based in Munich, one in London, one in Stuttgart, and the other one is from New Brunswick, but she has just started the Royal Conservatory Young Artist Program in Toronto. And we worked with an Olympic and sport performance coach, Jackie Reardon from England, who I've been working with for a long time and who works with Equilibrium artists on a kind of mental focus and discipline that is often used among like top level, you know, athletes, for example, tennis players. And then we also worked every day with a fabulous Tai Chi teacher from New Brunswick, Pat Stanley. And as well, we were working on the Mozart Requiem, and we worked very intensively on that, also with our assistant conductor, Simon Rivard. And then at the end, we put on a gala concert, and we also went to Shoreham Village Retirement Home In Chester, because I'm also the honorary patron of Concerts in Care, and that was the inaugural concert to start Concerts in Care in Nova Scotia. So it was a busy week. Oh, that was at the end of August, during my so-called vacation.
Oh my God.
It was great. It was really great.
You squeezed a lot into it. Well, what does it feel like now that you won a Grammy Award, you've won Juno Awards, you performed all over the world? What does it feel like to come home to Nova Scotia and perform back where you grew up?
Well, you know, they say, you know that saying, you're only as good as your last performance. Mm. And I have to say, it's so true. I mean, it doesn't matter if you won a Grammy or a Juno. It doesn't matter if you sang at La Scala or Covent Garden. It really is all about, how am I going to sing tonight? Mm. How well am I going to sing tonight? What are my goals? And can I be at my best? And it really, for me, it's never the location. Mm. It's always just, I'm performing for people, whether it's at church or whether it's in a retirement home or whether it's at LAMP. I'm always just trying to be at my best. And so coming to Nova Scotia, it was wonderful. This Lunenburg Academy of Performing Arts, it's run by Bert Wathen, and he'd been trying to get me there for years. And finally, the opportunity came up. And I just, it's an amazing place. It just has all the right components and the right spirit around it to make it a very, very special place for young artists to come and develop. And I'll actually be going back again at the end of this summer. You heard it here first. And so what was really special for me was that there were a lot of people there in the audience from my upbringing. There was Miss McEwen, my music teacher from Waverly. There were people from the Nova Scotia Choral Federation who knew me since I was 9 years old, my camp counselors and so on. There were kids from my street in Waverly who I'd grown up with, so now we're all in our late 40s. Family and friends were there, and of course other people that I'd never met that had a chance to come to this concert and to hear me in Nova Scotia, because it's quite rare that I come to Nova Scotia. So it was a very, beautiful concert, and for a lot of reasons, and not least because it was coming home.
Well, we will be sure to be there next summer. Do you happen to have a date?
I'm not going to announce the date yet.
Okay,
I do know the date, but I'll put it on my website, and Lunenburg and I will coordinate the announcement of the date. But it'll be at the beginning of September. I can say that.
Wow. Well, we will be sure to be there. That's a concert we would not want to miss. So I just have to say, Barbara, I'm such a fan, and I love that you refuse to be put into a box of any sort. And I'm sure you're inspiring a whole new generation of performers every day. So with that in mind, we're going to close with a track you chose by another great singer and performer, Florian Bausch, with pianist Malcolm Martineau. What song would you like to play to finish this off?
Yeah, I wanted to play a song called Ungeduld, which means impatience. And it's by Schubert. It's from his song cycle, Die Schöne Müllerin, the beautiful Miller's daughter, or the Miller's beautiful daughter, I guess. And Florian Bausch is one of my absolute favorite baritones. He has just incredible, gentle, beautiful, and powerful instrument. It has all those things at the same time. And he's a friend of mine. We've worked together, not very much, but we go to each other's concerts when we can. And I just admire so much what he does as a singer. And the pianist on this, Malcolm Martineau, is one of the top pianists that I've ever heard accompanying singers. So it's a real treat to share this with you today.
Great. Barbara, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak with me. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Ich schnitt es gern in alle Rinden ein. Ich grübe es gern in jeden Kieselstein. ich möchte sie auf jedes frische Lied mit Kresse Samen hier schnell verrät. Auf jeden weißen Zettel möchte ich schreiben: Dein ist mein Herz, dein ist mein Herz, und soll es ewig, ewig bleiben. Ziehen einen jungen Star, bis dass es sprecht die Worte rein und klar, bis er sich sprecht mit meines Mundes Klang, mit meines Herzens vollen heißen Drang, dann sing er hell durch ihre Fensterscheiben: Dein ist mein Herz, dein ist mein Herz, und so es ewig bleiben. Ich möchte säuseln durch den Regen heim, wohl leuchte es aus jedem Blumenstern, trüge es der Duft zu ihr von nah und fern. Ihr Wogen könnte nichts als Räder treiben. Dein ist mein Herz, dein ist mein Herz, und soll es ewig, ewig bleiben. Auf meinen Wangen müsst man's brennen sehen, so lesen es auf meinem stummen Mund, wenn jeder Atemzug hebt's laut ihr Kund, und sie merkt nichts von all dem bangen Treiben. Dein ist mein Herz, dein ist mein Herz, und soll es ewig, ewig bleiben.
Your dial is set on 97.5 FM, CIOE-FM, Real Radio, serving Metro and beyond.
On today's Artist Spotlight, we are featuring vocalist and theater artist Karen Myatt. Karen has appeared on stages in New York, Mexico, and throughout Canada. And professionally, she's trained at the Randolph Academy in Toronto and is a graduate of the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in New York City. In addition to performing around North America, if you live here in Halifax, you may have seen Karen. She's a staple in the musical theater community here as well. She's performed many roles in some of Neptune Theater's most popular productions, including Beauty and the Beast, Into the Woods, Mary Poppins, A Christmas Carol, and Sweeney Todd. Pretty much everything on there. I picked some of my favorites, but there's many more. Karen, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to be speaking with you today.
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. So first off, I read in your bio that you're very influenced by the great composers and musicians of the Golden Era and the songs of the American Songbook. Do you remember how you first became exposed to that era of music?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's all my grandma, who's still going. She's about to be 101 in December. Yeah, she's amazing. But she, I'll tell you a quick story about that. When she was 13 years old, she asked her father for a pony for her birthday, and she received a piano. So she made the most of that, and she taught herself how to play that piano. So basically, I had the Lawrence Welk show in my brain for as long as I can remember. So that's where all those seeds were planted.
Wow. Who is your favorite composer of that era? Did your grandmother have a favorite?
I'd say she's probably a big Berlin fan. I mean, she loved the big band singers, right? She loved Sinatra and Ella and Judy Garland. And so anything that had any kind of big band orchestration added to it, she tried to make that happen on the piano, and I would sing along.
So did you grow up in a generally musical family? Were you kind of always singing based on this influence by your grandmother?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of our gatherings, of course, were around the piano. And I have an aunt who did some country music for a while. And so music's been a major part of the family for sure. But the matriarch, my grandmother, is the one who creates it all, I think.
That's so amazing. What a nice way to connect with kind of the older generations of your family as well. Like, you're learning these same songs that she learned when she was young and kind of growing up in the same sort of tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so fun whenever she can come out to a show. I always make sure that I'm doing some tunes that she recognizes. And music for the elderly, as I'm sure you know, is such a therapy. And it really jogs memory and that sort of thing. So it's a really beautiful thing to watch happen.
Oh, that's so nice. I remember playing the Hoagy Carmichael tune, The Nearness of You. And my grandmother kind of having the same experience, saying like, oh, I used to dance with your grandfather to this. And it was really cute.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing for sure. Very powerful.
Yeah. So how did you go from kind of jazz and American songbook stuff and get into the musical theater world?
Well, I guess that came from the movies when I was a kid. I mean, films like the film version of West Side Story or, of course, you know, Wizard of Oz and all of these things. I found life through those stories and that music. And for as long as I can remember, it was what I wanted to do and study and pursue. And so that's what happened.
Was there much of a musical theater kind of world at your high school, or when did you first start performing in that world?
Yeah, it was huge. Funny story, actually. I'm sure you know Jeremy Webb at Neptune Theater.
Mm-hmm.
He actually directed me in my senior year high school musical. So it's been kind of like a professional experience from a young age. And there was a lot of music at St. Patrick's High School, which is where I attended. And a lot of really excellent teachers that were a major inspiration.
That's so important. Most of the artists I've been interviewing for this series speak about some kind of mentor or someone that sort of was instrumental in guiding them into a career in the arts. Does someone like that come to mind for you?
Absolutely. Actually, she's a Talent Trust, Nova Scotia Talent Trust recipient and award winner, I believe. That's Janice Jackson. She's a new music interpreter here in Nova Scotia. And I've studied private voice with her from the age of 15, I think. And I just had a lesson with her yesterday. So she's the best. She's pretty amazing. And I'd say my number one mentor when it comes to music.
Oh, wow. That's incredible that you're still in contact with her and still kind of learning from that relationship.
Yeah, she's brilliant. So if there's anybody listening who's looking for private voice instruction, Janice Jackson's the one to call.
Cool. Yeah. And repping another Talent Trust alumni. I love that.
Yeah, for sure.
So I know you went on to study voice and study musical theater. So what was it like being in New York and being in the world center of that field?
Yeah, well, I think most people who have studied in New York City will tell you that just living in that city is an education. You're surrounded by it 24/7. You have the, you know, world-class performances happening all around you that you can take in any time. So New York is definitely a second home to me. When I go back there, I just feel like I'm coming home. And, you know, you're working with instructors that are also doing the real thing every day. Like they may teach a class in the afternoon and then they walk on Broadway in the evening, you know. So it was really, from the moment I stepped foot in New York, just an amazing educational immersion into that world for sure.
Who were some of the folks you studied with down there?
So I studied voice with one of the first members of the New York City Opera. Eileen Schaller is her name. And a few, Emily Skinner, who is a Tony-nominated actress and still working on Broadway, and a few wonderful people at the Town Hall in New York City as well. So there's too many to name, I think. But they're everywhere there, of course.
So cool. So we're going to take a quick break and just listen to some music. And I feel very honored. This is the first time someone has chosen a piece of my music. So we're going to listen to my song called Warm Hands, Cold Heart that I recorded a few years ago with a good friend of mine, Alex Keown, playing acoustic bass. So, Karen, how did you find this song and what made you pick it?
Well, I'd like to keep up with local musicians, of course, and you yourself in Port Cities has been a huge inspiration and love watching you guys kind of climb the ladder. And that tune, I love voice and stand-up bass. Love, love, love. I think if anyone who's listening knows me, they know that in every single set that I play, I have at least one tune that's just bass and voice.
Mm.
And I think it's an amazing combination. It's dark, it's sexy, it's cool. It's just, I just love everything about it. So the minute I heard that song, I was like, this is for me. I love this. So I'd love to share that today. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I'll play it now. This is called Warm Hands, Cold Heart.
To my ears when you speak my name. Two hands hold tight, strangers in the dark, still strangers in the light. One look too long, all the right words, but the time is all wrong. Warm hands, cold heart, started like a fire, faded to a spark. Warm hands, cold heart, left me with a chill when you left me in the dark. You got a warm hands and a cold, cold heart.
Your dial is set on 97.5 FM, CIOE FM, Real Radio, serving Metro and beyond.
Welcome back to the Artist Spotlight on CIOE. I'm Bria McKinnon, and today I'm speaking with Karen Myatt. So Karen, first off, before we started the interview, we were chatting about your newest project that you're just about to start working on and start recording. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of, it's a major endeavor for me. I haven't recorded in about 5 years. And this one's kind of a concept album. This is the first time I'm actually talking about it kind of publicly, so that's kind of exciting. And basically, I don't want to give away too much, but the album's name is Femoir. The concept is women's stories and discovering the feminine spirit within everyone. So all of the songs on this album are going to have some kind of female influence and story from all walks of life. And they will be a series of standards, a few covers, and a few originals, which is new for me as well. So I'm really excited to bring that forth. I've got a local artist working on the artwork for the album. which is part of the concept, and I've got some of the city's, in my opinion, best musicians working with me. Lisa McDougall on keys, Chris Mitchell on sax, Stephen Patrick Clare on guitar, Adam Fine on bass, Matt Meyer on trumpet, and Jeff Arsenault on drums. So wow. It's been really amazing to kind of get in the room with those guys and get some ideas going. So it's very exciting for me.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing project. So what made you want to focus on female composers and women's stories with this project?
Yeah, well, it came from the original music that I'm working on. The title song, Femoir, is kind of about the internal story of a woman with a voice that she has not shared. I think that's happening a lot and coming to light a lot today, in today's climate, for sure. Also, just kind of bringing forth that true feminine spirit that I think is a part of everyone, men, women, however you identify, in nature, in animals. There's something very interesting about all of that to me. So I'd like to make a piece of work that really can speak to everyone. So it's in production, it's in development, and getting juicier and juicier every day. So there'll be maybe a more abstract element too, so that the listener or the audience can really fill in the blanks. So it's becoming, I think, at this point. Yeah.
Well, that's an exciting stage of a work to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, and a little scary, I'll admit, but mostly just really exciting.
So you're really well known as an incredible interpreter of songs and really taking some of these standards and putting your own spin on it. So have you found excitement or challenges in writing your own music for this project?
Yeah, it's definitely new for me. It's a scary kind of territory because of the newness of it. But it's also I'm really excited to get into the studio and kind of paint. Mm. So soundscape, you know, use every kind of instrument and sound that I can to kind of layer some kind of new sound. So it's a totally new approach for me. It's totally off the page. It's time to kind of throw the training sort of to the side and really get into the artistry and taking risks, I guess, is what I'm saying. So it's definitely, even with the material that we're covering, it's a reinterpretation. And there's going to be a lot of newness in that material as well, a lot of originality. So totally different from what I've recorded in the past, like entirely different.
Wow. Well, you've definitely picked the right group of folks to work on that with, because they're definitely all incredibly skilled musicians and also incredibly skilled improvisers. So you're going to have a fun time with that, I'm sure.
Exactly. I think I've chosen well.
So when are you expecting this project to come out so that we can stay tuned for it?
Yeah, it's we've got some time still. It's probably going to be June 2020 will be a launch with a multimedia production in Halifax. That's something I've done a lot in the city as well, is I'll take music and instead of throwing a bunch of tunes together in a concert, I'll have a visual element and audio clips. And so it's more of a theatrical experience as well. So the live show will be a statement in itself. So I'm sure you'll hear a lot about that leading up to that launch.
Amazing. Yeah, please keep us in the loop and we'll be sure to share the details of that a little bit closer to it. But that sounds incredible. I can't wait.
Thank you.
So if anyone out there would like to see Karen perform a little bit sooner, we are so excited to have you singing at the Portia White concert on November 22nd at the Faith Tabernacle Church here in Halifax. So what songs will you be performing there?
I am going to choose a spiritual to honor Portia White, for sure. And I'm going to do one of the songs I'm recording in November. It's called Everything Must Change. It's a bit of a standard by Bernard Ingner, and influenced by the recordings of Sarah Vaughan and Alida Adams. And maybe we'll also do a Billie Holiday song that night, because, of course, she's one of my favorites and a great inspiration as well. And also performed at the Town Hall, just as Portia White did. So I think, and also I'll be joined by Jennifer King on piano, who is another Talent Trust recipient.
Amazing. Full circle. So were you familiar with Portia White before you found out about the Nova Scotia Talent Trust, or before you started getting scholarships from that organization?
Yeah, definitely. I did know about Portia White. I mean, I think I learned about her in school, actually.
Wow.
She's such a figure here in Nova Scotia, and then as a musician as well. Mm-hmm. I did not know about the Town Hall thing, which is where I performed as well one evening in New York, and I did know about Billie Holiday there, but I did not know how far Portia White how far she had reached her audiences, and that's really an inspiration to me, coming from humble beginnings of hers, to put it lightly, and to reach such a far, wide reach, and that she had an impact not just locally but globally.
Of course, yeah. Well, it's going to be so great to see you perform in her honor on November 22nd. We're just going to play one last piece of music here before we wrap up the interview. We're going to listen to Misty from your last record. Can you tell us a little bit about this song, Karen?
Yeah, so funny, we talked about my 101-year-old grandma earlier. That's the song, that's the earliest song I remember singing is Misty, because it was her favorite always, so she taught it to me on the piano, and I have been singing it ever since. So when I first recorded, I knew that was going to be one on the album, and it's still a staple in my set. So it's kind of a signature, and it's definitely a tribute to my grandmother.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, let's have a listen to Misty. Karen, thank you so much for speaking with me today. It was great.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
A tree, and I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud I can't understand. I get misty just holding your be the sound of your hello, that music I hear. I get misty the moment you're near. You can say that you're following you. my glove, I'm too misty and too much in love.
Thank you so much for listening to the Artist Spotlight presented by the Nova Scotia Talent Trust. For more information, or if you're an artist who might want to apply to the Talent Trust, go to www.nstalenttrust.ns.ca or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at NS Talent Trust. Special thanks to CIOE and our producer Ron James, as well as Musing Nova Scotia, and our theme music is The Great Karoo by Will Fisher.